Welcome to Bench Boost Boys, and me, Gav, and you,
Scott.
Oh,
yeah. You could have been talking to me or the listeners. Listener. Thanks, Mum.
Stole my joke. We are back after what feels like forever, after having a week off with all the crazy goings on in Football Lab. This is Game Week 20 forecast. What's it called?
Oh, we never thought of a name.
Bench Boost Failure?
Oh, just Bench Boost Boy.
Bench Boost Boy. All right, that would become apparent very quick. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, doing well. Really glad I had a week off. I needed it to...
A break from me.
Re-energize, get back in the studio with... with...
This is a studio.
All of the... all of the rest. And over that break, I've injured myself and I don't feel well rested at all.
Well, really sorry to hear that. On to more important things. If you'd like to join the Bench Boost Boys private league on FPL, the code is P2IFBX. P2IFBX. We're on all the usual socials, mainly Twitter, to be honest, at Bench Boost Boys. BenchBoostBoys at gmail.com and BenchBoostBoys.club is the website.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All accurate. I'm looking for, just some... validation on that information.
Great job, Gavin.
Thank you so much. Perfect. So we're going to get into game week 18. We're going to do that very quickly because that was eons ago. And also because game week 19, which we'll review after that, was a bit of a beast, the old double game week. You ready?
I'm ready.
And then just to let anybody know, and we're not too proud about it. You can jump straight to the end if you would like to check out what we're going to do and our mailbag questions, if that's what you're really here for. No harm, no foul. Go do it.
Yeah, get out.
Fast forward already. Fuck. All right, let's do it. Game week 18 feels like 3 to 4 million years ago, Scott. How'd you get on?
Yeah, it was 3 to 4 million years ago. Game week 18 was the game week that I'd been planning for.
Is the what they called the blank game week? Because there were six fixtures. Yeah.
And I'd been planning for it for 5 weeks in advance, and I was so proud of myself for being one of those people that was all over it. And then I didn't need to play my free hit chip because I had all these plans.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then of course, what happens when you make plans?
COVID?
There were just so many issues that came up. COVID, one of the Aston Villa game that was postponed, and I was banking on three players from that team, Martinez, Watkins, and Grealish. So
that sucks.
In the end, I just, like everybody else, had to play my free hit. The average points, I think, for the week were around 30.
It was, yeah.
I didn't have many standout players, but the point about this game week was that you just had to beat the people that didn't realize it was a blank game week.
Hence the average, I'd say, of 30. Well, how many points do you get?
Yeah, well, I ended up getting 53 points. So, yeah, 23 points above the average. Standout players for me, there weren't many. Harry Kane. I brought in Marcus Rashford. He actually did pretty well for Man United. Wan-Bissaka and Cancelo. Big surprise one for me. Like every other person on planet Earth, I brought in Tierney after his game week 17 performance. He didn't play.
However.
And Tyrick Mitchell sitting on my bench popped onto my starting lineup for a cheeky 8 points.
What was your captain pick?
I captained Bruno Fernandes, who scored 2 points, so I got a nice 4 out of that. So.
Always nice to turn 2 into 4.
Yeah. KDB is my vice captain, got 6 points, so I probably should have gone there, but it is what it is. How did you go?
I had the same kind of situation. I knew I was playing my free hit. So that is what happened. I also chucked in Tierney and also had him auto-subbed for Mitchell. And that did turn out well because Mitchell got 8 points. So every cloud and all that. But my game week's okay. I got 1 point less than you, which hits me where it hurts.
Yeah, I've looked and I can't figure out where that happened.
I'm not going to do it now on the fly because we said we're going to whiz through game week 18. But I got 52 points. Mitchell automatically subbed in, got 8. Leno 6, Cancelo 6, Wan-Bissaka 6, De Bruyne 6, Kane 8. I also captain Fernandes, so I turned 2 into 4. Neto only got me 2, and Wilson and Lacazette blanked as well. So it was great because I got 22 points higher than the average. But yeah, that's about it. I think we should get into the beastly game week 19.
Let's do it. It literally wrapped up 2 days ago.
I know.
with a really nice... Are we having a break? Are you doing something with your hands?
I'm pensive.
I don't get it. Well, I'll skip through mine because we clearly have stuff you want to talk about. I mentioned prior to game week 18 on the last pod that I was going to play my wild card. I ended up doing that. Look, I'm really happy with my wild card. I didn't put anyone in the team that I otherwise wasn't kind of looking at from a long-term perspective.
That was my worry about possibly playing a wild card for that game week, was that I might end up with a bunch of players that were in there just because they had two games and then I didn't like it coming out of it.
Well, I was cognizant of not making that mistake, and I knew that I did want a couple of Leeds assets, and I knew that I wanted a couple of Spurs assets, and of course Leeds and Spurs didn't play two games.
So does that mean that you made some concessions with your wild card?
Yeah, I did, but I mean, I made concessions with players like Patrick Bamford, who didn't start in my starting lineup. I put Son on, and he did. We all know Son's capable of hauling. You know, he could have, you know, easily scored 12 points and potentially outscored some of my midfield options anyway. It didn't happen. He only scored 5 points on that one game, but. I bought in Martinez. He got 9 points in total. Chilwell, not really much to talk about. Diaz, obviously anyone that had Man City defenders. And I know John Stones had a particularly phenomenal game week. I think he scored like 21 points in the first game. Yeah, something stupid. I had Diaz, so he got an assist and clean sheet across the two games. Justin for Leicester. And looking at Leicester's fixtures, they're all pretty attractive assets right now, except for obviously Jamie Vardy, which we'll get into. Soufal, however you want to pronounce that.
Probably Koufal, I don't know. I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, West Ham assets. So it's the first time this season that I've knowingly put three assets from one team into my team. And they're all West Ham. So that was, like I said, Soufal. I had Souček as well, who I bought in, who's a long-term pick as well.
Okay.
And Antonio actually banked on him because he was back to full fitness for the double game week, and I got pretty fucking lucky.
Mate, we had a conversation about this because I thought, Antonio's back. That could be a good punt. I was looking for a third striker for game week 19, and I went on a bunch of West Ham fan sites, and they all said the same fucking thing, which was Antonio's nowhere near match fit, and an unfit Antonio is a useless Antonio, and I believed them.
Well, I mean, bites you in the butt, didn't bite me in the butt. KDB, 16 points overall as a captain, so 8 points in total across two games. Bruno Fernandes blanked, Salah blanked. I think that was probably the theme of the game week. And Salah was the most captained player for the game week, so a lot of people let down by Salah. The next one was KDB, who I captained. I know a lot of people triple captained him. All told, I ended up finishing without playing any chips other than the wild card on 115 points. So
What was the average?
The average was 74.
That's pretty good then, mate.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy. I'm really happy. And like I said, I'm left with a team that I'd be happy to move forward with the rest of the season. Now, I don't like having three players from one team. West Ham play Crystal Palace next. That's not a huge issue because it's not like they're coming up against Man United in the next game and I have to worry about having three.
Well, and over the game weeks, you can slowly alter that.
Yeah, and the next transfer out has probably been taken out of my hands a little bit, and we'll get to that soon. But otherwise, the wild card, I think I played it the right time for me. I'm not upset that I played it.
It's worked out for now. Let's see what the rest of the season brings.
Now, you're still doing that thing with your hands. You're still pensive.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your game week.
All right, well, I'll start at the end of the story. I got 81 points, so it is above the average, but not massively. And it feels disappointing because, you know, I felt my team was in a good position for the game week, and it didn't quite pan out. So first thing that happened was I played my bench boost.
Well, I'm looking at your team. You had, I think, most of your players were playing in double games. In two of the games, and I think you got a little bit unlucky with your goalkeepers.
Yeah, I did. Well, Melier was ill. I think he had COVID. The roll of the dice I played was playing a bench boost from that had three players from the same team, and that was Leeds. And Leeds lost against Brighton, so my bench boost picked up 5 points.
That's unlucky, because Brighton, Leeds, you'd probably pick Leeds any other day.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate. So goalkeeper on the pitch was Johnston, who didn't play the first game for West Brom and did play the second and got 2 points. Creswell, he got a total of 10 points, 8 and 2. Chilwell, 6 and 1. Justin was a good one, 8 and 6. Suchek blanked both games, 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, the reason Suchek blanked, and this is, you know, I've looked up a lot of different sort of websites and things to look at this, but the reason he blanked is because I bought him in.
I thought you could actually give me something interesting there.
No.
All right, good to know. El Ghazi blanked even more so. He didn't even start half these games. So 1 point and 1 point.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because I think it has a lot to do with Ross Barkley being fit again.
Do you know what? Ross Barkley, I was watching that game and I was watching it thinking, he's a great player, but his end product is just non-existent. As soon as he gets to anywhere near the box, he can't move forward anymore. He can only move sideways or backwards. He retains the ball, but I just found it so frustrating to watch Ross Barkley in that game. And then as he was getting subbed off right near the end, it's probably for El Ghazi actually from memory, the commentators were saying, oh, Ross Barkley's had a fantastic game. And I don't know, maybe I was just pissed off.
Are you talking about the Newcastle game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's easy to say everyone had a fantastic game in that game when you win 2-0.
It's just frustrating as fuck.
Was it 2-0 or 3-0?
Three, because they got one right near the end as well.
Mm. Yeah, that was a hard game for me to watch because for the double game week, the only Aston Villa asset that I kept was Martinez. And, you know, I had to sacrifice Grealish to get Son back into my team, which I'm not upset about. Mm. But it meant that I didn't have Watkins either because using the funds that I freed up selling him, I bought Brewster, which kept that 1.5 million to bring Son in. And I ended up swapping Antonio as well. So I didn't have Watkins. And I have this feeling that he's going to hit this really good vein of form.
He was due a goal. He had another ruled off offside correctly. But yeah, he looked good. But yeah, Ross Barkley, I mean, it doesn't mean much. He wasn't in my team, but he pissed me off. So anyway, El Ghazi got 2 points in total. Son obviously played one game, got 5. Fernandes was my captain. So I turned 3 and 5 into 6 and 10. Salah, as we've talked about, blanked. Watkins, 2 in the first game, 6 in the second because he got a goal. Vardy, 2 and 2. And yeah, as I said, bench 5, so a total of 81 points, which...
Don't skip over the bench because you did play your chip.
Oh, I talked about it. I said I had 3 Leeds players and Leeds lost. Walker Peters was there as well. I've blown it, mate. Bench Boost fucked. Have I got to leave the podcast now?
We're going to change the name of the podcast.
Bench Boost Boy and Gav. Bench
Boost Boy and Gav.
Feet Gav.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God.
Technically, you've played yours, so you're the Bench Boost Boy, and I'm the... It's just me.
Oh, I feel like we're going nowhere, mate. So, yeah, I can't help but feel slightly disappointed.
Talking about the lack of listeners.
Talking about life, mate. Before this game week, I figured in my mind's eye that triple figures is what I've got to be aiming for, which you achieved. Well done.
Thank you.
I did not, so... I felt like I lost ground. And yeah, in that game with the Villa game we were just talking about, people like yourself and some other people in some of my private leagues had Martinez. So I was really hoping that he wouldn't get a clean sheet and that might help me a little bit. But he did.
Yeah, a lot of people in walking into that last game, the game week, the Aston Villa Newcastle were sitting there going, I'm on this great score. Now I'm just hoping Martinez concedes and Grealish doesn't get an assist because those guys are pretty highly owned.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, therein lies the double game week 19. We're likely to get another double game week, aren't we, further on in the season?
Yeah, around 26, 27, 28, 29, I don't really know. If you want to know, and you want to know before any of your mates, check out that Ben Crellin bloke on Twitter. Look him up, Ben Crellin. It's not hard to spell, but he's very good at sort of planning out those sorts of things. And
yeah, he's usually pretty on it.
I mean, you can do all the preparation in the world, though, like I did for Game Week 18, and it's that, I mean, it's, you know, 2020, 2021, it's this year, it's been really hard to sort of properly plan anything, but, you know, I mean, at least if you're thinking about particularly saving a chip, or like a triple captain, or a bench boost, if you still hold them, or a free hit, then yeah, think about
those. And we'll get to that when we talk later on in the show about what we're going to do, because I'm a little on the fence around my next move. So stay tuned. So yeah, we'll take a quick break now, and then when we come back, oh, it's a drink. We'll have a watch list checkup, and then we'll move into Game Week 20 fixtures. Does that sound good to you?
It does. Let's move on.
Ah! Bench Boss Boys. We're back. So, Scott, watch list update. Would you like to kick us off?
Yep. I'm going to start off by quickly talking about probably the only other keeper that I'm looking at seriously, and that's Nick Pope.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Burnley, we have a bloke in our mini league who banked on three Burnley defenders against Liverpool.
Fuck's sake.
Did you see that?
I did see it.
And I was forced, this guy works with us, I was forced to go onto LinkedIn and give him kudos for thinking outside the box.
And how did it work?
Three Burnley defenders against Liverpool. They win 1-0.
For fuck's sake.
Nick Pope, I read somewhere, this is not even, I'm not even exaggerating the statistic. I don't know the exact figures, but something like Liverpool haven't scored a goal in the last 87 attempts they've made. And 27 of those attempts were made against Burnley, which means Nick Pope had a bloody hard time.
Oh, in fairness as well, I mean, yeah, Nick Pope's great, but they kept that defence and the whole team defensively kept their shape perfectly.
Yeah.
It was a masterclass in defending.
I've had Charlie Taylor in my team. You know, he's out now because he was injured, and he's been re-injured. I don't know what the second follow-up injury is, but it's hard to ignore the Burnley defence. You know, they're not scoring a million goals. Chris Wood's not going off and scoring a million goals. But, you know, that team is a very, very hard team to break down. If you're Liverpool, even though Liverpool's in a bit of a slump of form, it's just tough to break down. So Nick Pope's on the watch list, Lowton as well. Burnley's another one of their defenders. I think Charlie Taylor.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, he'd still be in my team if he hadn't got that injury. So I will probably be looking at bringing Pope in, second goalkeeper.
It feels with Pope as well. He's in that kind of sweet spot in FPL where he's a good, really good goalkeeper playing for a pretty mediocre team, which means lots of shots come at him. So he picks up loads of bonus points for his saves and stuff. Yeah.
And it's no secret that I've had De Bruyne on my team for a long time, and he's now got that long-term injury. He's torn his hamstring, I think it is, or something along those lines. So, you know, looking at De Bruyne, there's a lot of money tied up in De Bruyne. So for me to take him out, it's going to free up funds if I let it.
Well, one of our mailbag questions this week actually talks about what happens next for De Bruyne. So
yeah, I won't touch on what
don't
I'm
give too
be,
much away.
I'm not going to be talking about too much about what I'm going to be doing about De Bruyne. But if I can free up some funds, that means that I can upgrade my second goalkeeper. My second goalkeeper right now is Fraser Forster for Southampton because $4 million.
Sure.
Yeah. So yep, Pope. God, this is a long watch list too, and that took quite a bit of time. Stuart Dallas for Leeds. Now, I didn't bring any Leeds players into my wildcard, excluding Bamford.
Sure.
Because they weren't playing two games. But Stuart Dallas is definitely a player that I've talked about in the past as being a must-have player. So it's hard for me to know who out of my defence I should be taking out. You know, they all performed really well over the break.
Mm.
Perhaps maybe not Ben Chilwell, but Ben Chilwell's capable.
One of the games he did.
Yeah. Gundogan. So,
what's that about? Because he's on my watch list this week as well. And for me, I'm like, actually, I'll let you go first.
Well, it's about the four goals in the last four games.
Sure.
Something along those lines. I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but 5.5 million playing for Man City. There's always a risk of rotation, but with KDB out for at least another month, is there a greater risk of rotation? I don't think there is. I think Bernardo Silva's going to be flopping in there.
Well, potentially as well. At 5.5 million, he might be a bench midfielder.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's stepped up a lot and he's providing a lot of tangible goals. Whereas, you know, some players might step up and play the assist or whatever. He's actually he's tapping that ball into the back of the net. Man City might win their next few games 3-0, 2-0, 4-0. Gundogan's going to be there. He's going to be there for at least a couple of those goals. So a couple of Leicester City players on my watch list, Barnes and Madison. So
yep,
both obvious. I think they're on about 82 and 80 points. Just super obvious choices. But I think over the course of the next five game weeks or six game weeks, and I'll take a quick look at the fixture difficulty rating for Leicester. Mm. But they only have one tough fixture coming up. And that's Liverpool at home 5 weeks from now. They've got Everton. They've got Leeds at home, Fulham away, Wolves. After Liverpool, they've got Aston Villa and Arsenal. So they've got some pretty decent fixtures coming up. And those two guys are playing really, really well. Now, we know Vardy's out. So the goals have to come from somewhere.
I was looking at potentially bringing one of those in. At the moment, I slightly favour Barnes over Maddison, but they're both fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Barnes is probably, what, like 400,000 cheaper?
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
And so that's going to free up some funds, and he's only 2 points less. So you're not going to pay 400,000 for an extra couple of points over the course of the season, no. Are you? So he's a little bit better value as Harvey Barnes, but I think Maddison's in a little bit better form at the moment. Smith Rowe from Arsenal.
Yep.
Playing really well at the moment. He's only 4.5 million. So he's more of a let's free up funds with Smith Rowe, but also he's guaranteed to start at the moment because he's playing as a proper number 10. He's playing the way Mesut Ozil should have been playing when he first came to Arsenal.
Do you know what he reminds me of as well? When you get a lot of these super young guys break through suddenly and do immediately very well, it's like they come with that kind of youthful fearlessness, a bit like when Rooney burst on the scene all those years ago for Everton to score that goal over David Seaman. It's just they just arrive with no fear, no inhibitions, and just smash it and hit that form.
Well, and he and Saka and, you know, who was the young fella? I think it was Cedric Soares or his name was.
Oh, yeah.
They got nothing to prove. They've got nothing to lose, everything to gain by just going out there and playing the kind of football they probably used to play when they were teenagers, running at players with, like you said, absolutely no fear.
Well, it's kind of a moot point, but it always makes me laugh, actually, when you're watching like Premier League or fixed highlights and you see some young guy you've never heard of and it's like, oh, he's coming on for his debut and he does a couple of good things and you watch that thinking, I bet you at school he was easily the best player in the entire school.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you actually talk in real life terms of elite football at the very top, of course it's a different game, but give it a go, huh?
The other, I've got two more names on my watch list.
Sure.
I'll be done soon. Harry Kane, an obvious one. I want him in my team at some point.
So
I'm really happy with my three strikers.
Who are they again at the moment?
Antonio, Bamford, and crazy last one, Brewster. So
you're really happy with those?
I'm really happy with those because I don't have enough free funds and space in my team to remove any of my midfielders. I want Salah, I want Fernandes.
But you're very much a proponent of stacking the midfield, right?
Right, yeah, I think a lot of points come from the midfield. Yeah. So, and I've got Son now as well. So for me, getting Kane into my team means I need to bring out Antonio or bring out Bamford. I'm not going to bring out Bamford anytime soon. He's too consistent. He's owned by 60% of people. I don't want to miss out on those points.
Well, when I've even looked at bringing Bamford out along the lines of, oh, is he in form? You look at the alternatives around that kind of price. There's no one else.
No. Callum Wilson doesn't it. He's blanked in the last six games.
He, unfortunately for Callum Wilson as well, Newcastle in general are just having a terrible time.
Yeah. Callum Robinson at West Brom, no, he's actually hitting form, but at the same time that Callum Robinson's losing it, but it's fucking West Brom. I'm not going to bring in a West Brom.
Well, player. I mean, like that Pereira chap, he had a storming time, didn't he?
Yeah, Pereira, I lost the faith with Pereira around game week three. I had him in my team for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, so Kane's sitting in there. If Antonio gets injured, when, he'll come into my team, Harry Kane. I'll make the changes that I have to make to get him in. And the last one is DCL. He's back.
Apparently he's back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm in no rush to stick him straight back in. Let's see how he goes. But like a sheep following the flock, I'll chuck DCL straight back in as soon as he gets a goal, I'm sure. All right, thanks for that. Mine's a lot more brief. And mine is very much this week targeted around the way I usually play my watch list or add new people to it is literally just these are the players I'm going to keep my eye on. I mean, I guess the clue's in the name, right? Watch list. But they're not people I'm necessarily completely sold on. It's just like, a few more games and maybe I'll be interested. One's Antonio.
Antonio, you're going to want to watch for that injury.
Yeah, 100%.
He's due for one. Oh, he's played two games on the trot.
Poor bastard is so injury prone. Mm. So Antonio, yeah, the reason why I wouldn't automatically drag him in because I'm fully expecting him to do his hamstring training any day. Matty Target, Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's actually a good shout.
Yeah, he's doing well. And then same as you, Gundogan, Man City. The kind of risk there for me at the moment is just the rotation roulette at Man City, a bit like at Chelsea. So I'll just keep an eye. If these guys are kind of fit and forcing their way in week out, then it becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about Chelsea. We're about to move into a break, but after that, we'll talk about Game Week 20 fixtures, and I want to talk a little bit about Chelsea's rotation when we get there, but let's take a cheeky break.
All right. Game Week 20 fixtures. We're kicking off Game Week 20. Crystal Palace versus West Ham United. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I think I touched on it a little bit earlier when I said I don't often have three players from one team. I don't like to do that because there's always the chance for a surprise result. Now, Zaha's not guaranteed to start this next game for Crystal Palace. And West Ham are in such good form at the moment that I just can't see Crystal Palace getting anything out of this game.
Zaha's 75% as well. And as we talk about most weeks, often when FPL says 75%, the player probably plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he might, but I'm not really worried about having three players from one fixture. It's not like, you know, you were quite unlucky playing your bench boost when Leeds lost to Brighton, because that was unheard of. I'm not really at risk here. I'm actually leaving one of my players, Suchek, on the bench. Now, he's likely going to start, and I'll go into the reason why a little bit later in the show. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for me to watch right now in this fixture is how is Antonio going to go?
Mm.
Because he's had two great games in a row. Now, he's either going to have another great game or he's going to get injured. He's not going to blank.
It feels very binary, doesn't it, with him?
Yeah, it does, and that sucks to say. I know you're a fan of Cresswell, Aaron yeah. Cresswell. He's been a pretty consistent player in your team. I don't know if you still have him in your team.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So one to watch for me for this game for you would be Cresswell, because he's a very, very attractive player, and he's also really good at football. I've got Kufal.
Yep.
Kufal's scored 6 points in the last three games, each game. So he's scored 18 points in total. So
that's good.
You know, I can't see Crystal Palace breaking down West Ham. Fabianski's playing well as well. I think, you know, West Ham have a great team. I think that they're going to easily beat Crystal Palace. Oh, mate,
they're trending for Champions League football next season. Those guys are flying high. Obviously, there's a lot of games to go, yeah, but West Ham are in great form. Crystal Palace potentially without Zaha or with a not fully fit Zaha. It's not a great look for them.
No. The next game's Newcastle Leeds. So your boy's playing away. At St. James's Park.
So Newcastle are in trouble. I think Brucey's getting fired any day now. Talk about Eddie Howe coming in to manage Newcastle. I think that'd be a really good move for them.
Mm. Well, they can't go too wrong right now changing anything. For me, one thing that I look at in their team and I think, how's this gone on so long, is Andy Carroll.
If you look over the last three or so games, Andy Carroll's got a goal and he's been involved. It's really weird. It's like this, you know, the guy's come back from the dead. But not someone you want to rest the whole game on.
Actually, for me, and I know you've got Bamford too. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
For me, it's actually not a bad shout to have Bamford as a potential captain choice for this game.
I don't know, and here's why. So, on top of the fact that Newcastle aren't doing very well, Leeds have. That Brighton game was horrible, and whenever the wheels fall off a bit for Leeds, the press and other teams race to come out and say they've been found out or they're tired, they don't have enough squad depth. Some of the rumours I'm reading are that Bielsa recognises that the team are tired. Apparently in this transfer window they are going to try and get a bit more squad depth. I think half the problem, we've talked about this before, is that with all the new players that came in, they haven't really had a great opportunity to create that proper team cohesion. Slightly concerned that I've seen this happen the last couple of seasons with Leeds. When they do have a wobble, it can be a bit of a free fall. Not for long, but for argument's sake, I wouldn't be massively surprised if Leeds don't win until, you know, late Feb or something stupid. I do have Bamford, but they'll probably come and prove me completely wrong now and thrash Newcastle 5-0, but we'll see.
Well, the reason I was so rudely just looking at my phone while you were talking was because I was curious, and I haven't memorized all the FA Cup fixtures, but I was seeing if they played, because they haven't played an FA Cup game, which means they've only played one fixture in the course of the last week, which is a bit of an advantage. And I know Newcastle haven't either.
Pretty sure. Didn't Leeds get dumped out of the FA Cup by Crawley Town 3-0?
Was that this week?
No, it was the other a couple of weeks back.
Well, there you go. What I'm saying, and I didn't mean to bring that up, is that Leeds, they should be well rested. I get that Bielsa's worried about the longevity of that and the tight fixtures and things like that, but they've had a bit of rest.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, apparently. Bielsa recognised that the guys were... It's not just physically tired, it's that kind of jaded, you know, they need a shake-up.
Oh, fucking football, it's so hard.
Well, yeah, I think it probably is.
fucking kidding me. They're all dating supermodels, they don't care.
Yeah, that's probably why they're tired, mate. You'd be too.
Yeah, because you've got to wait for them to finish watching Bridgerton before you can play Call of Duty with your mates.
Yeah, or the sex, but sure.
That's what adults do. Eliza, take note.
I haven't finished making my point, you joker. Right. My you're like, oh, fucking strap in. My point is that apparently that Bielsa recognised it, and the next training session they had, they played fucking 4 hours of, like, head tennis just to shake up and, like, go, all right, boys, we need a bit of a relax. We're not going to do the infamous Bielsa murderable training sessions. They just had a bit of a laugh for a day, which I hope that helped. So, yes, I wouldn't be surprised for a 0-0 here, but I'm sure, well, and as a Leeds fan, I hope that we're here next week talking about how Leeds thrashed Newcastle 5-0.
It'll be Bamford 4, Newcastle 0. you heard it here first. I was just going to say, put a timestamp on there for Gavin raving about Leeds, because this always happens. We always get hung up on this spot.
Tweet it out to the Leeds fans.
The next game is Southampton-Arsenal. So a big name. This game just happened as well.
In the FA Cup.
So obviously Southampton won that
1-0. They did, yeah.
Which is perfectly fine, because now we get to concentrate on the cup, on the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go on then.
So the big news was Aubameyang, actually. So it was a bit of a weird one. So just before the game started, Mikel Arteta said, we've had to send Aubameyang back, due to personal reasons. So that should be his priority now, and we're not going to worry about the next fixture, which is against Southampton in the league. He needs to concentrate on whatever that personal issue is. So I don't know what it is. I don't think you'd know what it is.
No idea.
I can't find any news on the internet.
But it looks like, on the FPL website, they've listed him as being
75%.
Yeah, just says 75% personal reasons.
Yeah, and obviously we hope whatever's going on is okay. I hope it's nothing serious, but...
He might not play anyway.
Yeah, the point is he might not play. Now, Arsenal's just hitting form. Aubameyang's played a pretty big part in that. He scored 2 goals against Newcastle in the last game. So I'll tell you, I'll get it a little bit into why this news does bugger me a little bit later. Now, I'm an Arsenal fan, so obviously it's going to hit home. But for me, I would have said going into this fixture pre that Aubameyang news that Arsenal probably would have been the favourites here.
Yeah, probably.
But, Southampton's always capable of putting on a decent performance. A
lot of clean sheets for Southampton this season.
Yeah, and Theo Walcott playing the way he's been playing, he'll be excited to come up against his old side again. So
yeah, for Southampton, the only thing news-wise for them players is Bertrand is suspended for this game week.
Yeah. Danny Ings is another player that he hasn't made my watch list because I don't quite have the funds for him. But
have you seen that Southampton have been playing Ings and Che Adams up front and then Walcott on the wing?
Hmm.
It's quite an interesting little attacking trio there.
It's a decent attacking trio. Yeah, you definitely wouldn't be upset about that. The next game is West Brom hosting Man City at the Hawthorns. I don't know about this game because it's easy to look at this and go, oh, Man City all the way. But with KDB out long-term with an injury and West Brom suddenly hitting a rich vein of form.
I know, it's like anything could go.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a betting man, which I am, I spend a lot of money on sportsbet.com, thanks.
Is that this week's sponsors?
I wish. Sure, why not? It's actually Jimmy's Juices.
Okay.
You'll find them at the Davies Park markets on Saturday morning.
Thank you.
So with West Brom, Man City, I reckon this could be an upset. A cheeky one.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I'm banking on it not being because I'm really hoping Diaz will keep another clean sheet for me. But who knows with West Brom? If I were you, and I'm not, but if I were you, Sam Johnston, if you haven't already thought about starting him and you're thinking about maybe bringing in a different keeper.
You reckon
keeper,
that's the one, do you?
Well, he's going to get tested and there's a solid chance that West Brom in this kind of form keep a clean sheet.
Better to be tested in a football match than for COVID. Don't laugh, Scott. COVID's not funny. De Bruyne out till 21st of Feb. But yeah, all right. I'll remember that you've that's your cheeky call of the week, West Brom to get a result over City. We shall see. Next game is...
I'll clarify. Nil all is a result for West Brom.
That's fair, but also a massive cop-out, and you've completely taken the shine off that section. Well done.
West Brom 1-0, Matias Pereira.
And now it's back. All right, next game is Burnley versus Aston Villa. I'm wondering with Burnley, I'll be watching this quite keenly. Obviously, they would have felt like they had to defend the way they did against Liverpool. Are they going to do that at home against Aston Villa?
Well, it worked for them, didn't it? So why would they change anything?
Well, I guess, but if they don't think Villa is much of a threat, maybe it's adaptable.
Villa's sitting at, what, sixth now on the Premier League ladder? They're flying pretty high. If they don't view Villa as a threat, then that's really poor managing.
Well, if they do then, Villa are going to struggle. We'll see. Can Ollie Watkins get more of them goals? As you've touched on earlier, Taylor is out.
Yeah, it's like a new injury. I haven't really looked into it. I mean, I'd be keen to see him play a couple of games back before I thought about bringing him back into my team.
Sure.
I mentioned earlier when I was talking a bit about rotation risk. The next fixture is Chelsea Wolves. You mentioned rotation risk with Gundogan.
The entire Chelsea midfield.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say that anyone's locked in at the back as well, because I know a lot of people got screwed by Kurt Zouma being benched twice in the double game week.
He seems to have fallen out of favour suddenly.
Yeah, and that's a worry. He's fallen out of favour, but Chelsea's form's pretty crap. And
Kante's out injured. I know from an FPL point of view, people don't have him, but just on the subject of what could move in and out of that midfield.
We've got a fellow in our league, Ian, he's got Tammy Abraham, and he's about to lose the faith in him. This morning, Tammy Abraham scored a hat-trick.
Fuck. Yeah, but this is the problem with a lot of these... I sound like such a raving old man. There's just a problem with a lot of these young players. They just get used by these top teams in cup games, and they'll score like a hat-trick. Everyone will go, fuck me, and everyone will start dragging. I've been there. They'll drag Abraham into their team, and then he won't play for three games.
Well, that's the thing. He's had him in his team for about the last three games. He hasn't played a lot of those minutes. Prior to that, he was actually rotating quite quickly and quite regularly with Giroud. So, but then Giroud hit that crazy vein of form as well. So, you know, it was a bit of a risk playing either of those two players. Timo Werner is the only consistent player at Chelsea. And when I say consistent, he consistently plays
selected, yeah,
and he consistently misses every single fucking shot he gets.
He had one the other week.
He also missed a penalty this morning.
And he had one in the last game week ruled off for offside as well. It's like I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, for me... who's that young hippie kid at Wolves we like?
Oh, you're talking about
Fabio.
Fabio Silva.
Yeah.
Wolves have just signed another striker, by the way. Can't remember his name.
I don't like it. I like Fabio Silva.
Well.
He's hitting form. He's scored two goals in the last six games, which isn't that great, but for a 19-year-old in the Premier League, it's pretty damn good.
Any fans and players of the popular franchise, Football Manager, will probably know Fabio Silva from last season on there. In that game, I know it's fiction, based on reality, he turns out to be like one of the best strikers in the whole game.
You heard it here first, for the second time.
I was going to say, I called it, but I haven't really. Football Manager have called it.
Yeah, well, okay, the next game is the yawn match of the week. West Bromwich Albion versus Fulham.
Did you see Lookman got a goal?
I did. And Guisa, a very popular pick as well.
Yeah, he is.
He's
dickered over, what's his face?
Dickered over Reed, yeah. I'm not going to harp on about either of these two teams. I would only ever bring in an asset from Fulham or West Brom if I was wanting to fluff up my bench a little bit. Man United, Sheffield. Oh, do you have anything to say about that game before I move on quite quickly?
Well, it's Everton, Leicester next. But no, I don't actually. It is the your match of the week. Good luck. So it's Everton, Leicester next.
Yeah, all right. Sorry.
So the big watching point here, you know, for FPL managers is going to be DCL. I'd be interested to see. We'll have to check the stats closer to game week cutoff or whenever they update them to see how many people have actually transferred DCL straight back into their team.
He is actually the third most transferred out player this week. Let me just quickly go onto the status page of the FPL official website.
Delayed onset, notice what's going on-ism.
Guys, he's fucking fit again, stop transferring him out.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. If you've kept him in at that point, keep him in.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I had him on my watch list for a reason. He scores points. So, obviously, the top two most transferred out, De Bruyne and Vardy, because of those obvious injuries.
So De Bruyne, De Bruyne makes so much sense. Like, if you've got a guy who's worth shitloads of money and he's going to be out for more than one game week, sure.
So does Vardy, though, because he's 10 points. For a striker, yeah, he's not cheap. He's very expensive. Kurt Zouma, obviously, being rotated out, hasn't set well with a lot of people, and Salah hasn't hit form. So that rounds out the top five transfers out. But for me, DCL being transferred out, a little bit of a weird one. Leicester City for this match, though, for me, we're looking at Maddison and Barnes, because Vardy's out.
Vardy's out until about 13th of Feb with that hernia.
And those are the two players, Maddison and Barnes, that we talked about in our watch. Yeah. Watch list, and they're playing really well at the moment together. Pretty dangerous looking players.
Yeah, that should be a pretty tightly contested game, that one. I'll be watching DCL like a hawk. Next game, penultimate game of game week 20, is Manchester United versus Sheffield United. Rashford 75%. Read into that what you like.
Rashford was good for me in game week 18. I bought him in for that free hit.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a bad player. A really popular pick right now, and I'm looking at this. All of the official FPL sort of stuff. They keep harping on. The scout keeps harping on about Luke Shaw for Man United.
He has found his way back into the team ahead of Telles. I noticed that the other day.
And he's playing really well, so why not have a crack there? He's probably a little bit of a differential pick. But for me, this match, Man United-Sheffield, Man United at home, it's an easy pick for Fernandes as captain.
Yeah, I agree. How could you not? Are you going to play your young striker from Sheffield United? Are you going to keep him?
Brewster watch.
Yeah.
Am I going to keep him? Yes. Is he going to be sitting as number three on my bench? Yes.
Okay.
He certainly is not going to be coming on.
We'll move on. Last game of the game week. Tottenham Hotspur against Liverpool. Just a little note, actually. It won't affect this game week, but Jota apparently should be back by the 3rd of Feb, which is great news.
Yeah. Cheap midfield option. They need a bit of a shake-up at Liverpool. They haven't been playing very well. This, for me, is the game of the week.
Mm.
You talked about this a lot before Tottenham's run of five tough fixtures earlier on in the year.
Mm.
Son plays better against these kind of teams.
Son and Kane in particular seem to link up very well when people attack them strongly, like that counter-attack.
Yeah, and Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robbo, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold put in at least 15 crosses against Burnley. So they push forward.
Which, do you know what's really... If you just to quickly talk about kind of bias, when I watched Trent whipping in those crosses, I noticed there were like half a dozen or so where he was failing in the same corners, failing to beat the first man, and I was quite judgmental of him. But then I realised that actually throughout the entire game... There were so many, and when you think of how many were successful, actually his output was good. But because there were so many, I was able to just look in a vacuum at half a dozen of them and go, for fuck's sake, Trent, what are you doing? But yeah, when you've got a guy who's whipping in that many balls, there's going to be success.
Yeah, he's hitting form. So is Robbo. I think, at the start of the season, everyone had both of those players, or at least one of them in their teams, and they've gone out. They're coming back into form.
They are, but Robbo at 7 point whatever still feels like a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, he's cheaper than Trent.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a cheeky little break. Actually, I will say one more thing. Cool. Salah did score two goals against Man United this morning, so he is probably...
Yeah, and we will get to this, because when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what we're going to do for game week 20. But just as a little teaser, a bit of clickbait, right up until this morning, this is Tuesday here in Australia, I was thinking about dumping Salah. And then he goes and gets two goals, gets Man United in the FA Cup. Could change everything.
Stay tuned.
Bench Boss Boys. Game week 20. What are you going to do?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be another one. I thought you cut it and you paste it and you put it on a button so you can go, what are you going to do?
I can still do that, but it won't apply for now.
All right, let's do that.
So, later. Scott, what are you going to do? That was me asking you.
I'm going to learn from this.
Are you?
Mistake. So, I read the news, as everyone else did, about KDB's injury, and I thought, right, it's time for me to put my thinking cap on. How am I going to replace KDB?
First time for everything.
Now, we have a question in the mailbag which pertains to this very conundrum a little bit later.
Mm. Lovely.
Just
got to get it out.
Edit that out. but I was, you know me, I'm very frugal. And I thought, KDB is going to fall in price here. I better sell this prick before everyone else does.
Right.
So I did.
Interesting.
And I bought in my main man, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Oh, yeah. And that was before the announcement.
Of course. Yeah, you wouldn't do it after, you mentalist.
Personal reasons. Maybe he's flying across to Australia to thank me for bringing him back in. But either way, I did it a little early, and it's bit me on the ass. So I'm going to run the gauntlet this week. I'm going to start Aubameyang with the hopes that his personal reasons were, you know, he was on hold to Telstra, and they finally answered the phone, and he was able to talk to them. And he said to Arteta, "Look, I can't play this game. I've been on hold to these guys.
I'm not hanging up.
Let me finish this. This is a personal thing, but let me finish this, and then I'll get in for the next
Premier League. Wouldn't let me use earbuds.
So, so." I'm going to run the gauntlet this week, start him. I've got Suchek to come in if he doesn't play. Like I said, West Ham playing Crystal Palace, it's not going to be a big deal. If he doesn't play, I think that means next week I'll have to make a transfer. You know, he might be back for the next game, but Arsenal's fixtures get a bit tough. I could save a lot of money too and then bulk out my bench if I bring in someone like Gundogan, like we talked about earlier.
Sure.
Or Smith Rowe, if I bring that player in, that still leaves me with a decent midfield, and it leaves me with options to upgrade Brewster, and it leaves me with options to upgrade Mitchell. This week I'm going to pop the captain's armband on Bruno Fernandes. They have a pretty good game against Sheffield at home.
Yep.
And my vice captaincy is going to go on Bamford. It was a tough call between those two. For me, from my perspective, I know you don't like Bamford because of the 35 minutes you talked about earlier. I will be putting the captain's armband on Bruno. I'm not going to play any chips this week. No triple captain. I've still got my triple captain and my bench boost up my sleeve.
Just like that. So for me, I'm in a bit of a conundrum where I still have my wild card to play. I mean, so I fucking should. It's only January, Scott. Calm down. And my first thought was play the wild card. And I tried over the last week or so, four separate times, to see what I would do with that wild card. And I've realised, especially after a bit of consultation from yourself, that I'm basically bringing out maybe five players max, and I don't know if that's a good reason to play the wild card.
It isn't.
No.
just letting you know it's not.
I think, because I have Vardy in my team, so I could definitely dump him. Looking at my team,
You've got Vardy in your team, and he's you got to look at the money that's tied up with that one player, and the fact that he's definitely out until early February, mid February.
Yeah. So one thing I could try to do is get Vardy out, maybe make a change elsewhere in the team, and then squeeze Kane up front. That might be one move. Goalkeeper, Melier 75%. I do have Johnson on the bench. I know you've thrown down the gauntlet by suggesting that I play him against City. Food for thought. But when I look at my team, Melier, Creswell, Chilwell, Dallas, Salah, Fernandez, Son, Suchek, Bamford, Watkins, obviously Vardy, on the bench at the moment, Walker Peters, El Ghazi, Justin Johnson. It's a pretty solid squad.
How's Justin on your bench?
Oh, well, this isn't finalised.
No, well, fucking finalise it, Kevin. What if you're hit by a bus tomorrow?
Well, you know, I don't think FPL will be a concern. If I die, if I live, I might be pissed off. But maybe it could be brain injury. Oh, no, stop. The more I think about it now, the more I will probably save my wild card. And that could really help later in the season. Like you said, what, game week 26, potentially with a double game week. Plenty of matches to go, so I might keep my powder dry, as old people say. And yeah, get rid of Vardy if I need to make that move. Might have to take out another player and just take a 4-point hit, just so I can most likely try and squeeze Kane in, I think. We will see. But yeah, so I was all set to come in here today, record, and talk about what I might do with the wild card, but no, I think I think I won't do that.
Who are you going to captain?
Ah, it's an obvious one, isn't it? It's Fernandez, and we'll watch him turn two into four. shit luck. So yeah, there we go. That's about as exciting as that gets. We will take a brief break now, and then when we come back, might be something called the mailbag. Are you ready for this?
It's my favourite time of the week.
Let's get it done. Scott, guess what? Scott, guess what?
Mailbag time.
You never guess what?
Mailbag time.
So, first question. Well, this is from Nick from FC Barcelona. We've got quite a bit of context here. He has three injuries at the moment. Vestergaard, Vardy and Zaha. Where should he prioritise his free transfer? Should he take a hit?
I'm just going to, before we even try and answer this...
before I try.
Quickly look. I mean, the obvious one is Vardy.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Get rid of that. It's $10 million. $10 million he does. You can't really argue with that sort of thing.
Do we know if Nick's got spare cash in the bank?
Don't know about cash in the bank, but what I can tell you is that the rest of his team outside of those three injured players right now is actually pretty strong. His weakest player within that team is probably Baldock from Sheffield United.
With regards to... Well, Zaha's a 75%, so I would stick with him, unless you have a particular desire to get rid of Zaha. Vestergaard, is he out for...
He's back on the 3rd of February. So, for me, this is the opportunity for you to potentially...
What was his bench like?
Oh, his bench, he's got McCarthy, Southampton, as a goalkeeper.
Sure.
He's got Edison as his other goalkeeper. So that's strong.
Defence?
Defence on his... On the field, he's got Robbo, Chilwell and Justin.
And on the bench?
On the bench is Baldock from Sheffield and Vestergaard.
Well, he could just play three at the back.
Yeah, and that's what he should do. Bowen, he's got... Jared Bowen from West Ham. He's got Pedro Neto from Wolves, and he's got Jack Grealish and Son making up his midfield. So the only midfield player out right now is Zaha. His strikers, Ollie Watkins and Callum Wilson.
I say just dump Vardy.
Yep.
See what you need to do to get a decent replacement. He could go. Has he got Bamford?
He hasn't got Bamford. Bamford would be a safe option.
Well, you'd have plenty of money in the bank as well.
Exactly, and that frees up a lot of funds.
Makes a potential big move for the following game week.
Yeah. I mean, maybe look to upgrade maybe Bowen, Neto or Zaha if Zaha's injury. So sure. Is there, if it allows you to bring
sounds
in someone
like he's
like
in a pretty good position.
Bruno Fernandes, yeah. For me, it's a play one free transfer.
Mm.
Hold on to Vestergaard. Hold on to Zaha.
I agree.
And yeah.
Dump Vardy, get Bamford in, stick the other two on the bench, see what happens next week.
Yeah. Done.
That feels pretty cut and dry.
Yep.
And I wasn't unkind to your brother for once. So yeah. We're like practically best mates now.
Yeah. Let's move on.
So second question, Warren of Who Are You? Asks, we've touched on this earlier on in the podcast, who should I replace the injured KDB with? Well, there's a few tangibles there, isn't there? You know, KDB's an expensive asset. Depends what other expensive assets you've got. Let's assume you don't have any. You can look at the likes of the now suddenly informed Salah, Son, Fernandez. They're your big, big ticket items.
If you don't have Fernandez, I don't know what his team looks like.
Hey, let me look it up. You fill some air. I'll bring his team up.
This podcast is brought to you by Jimmy's Juice. You'll find it at the Davies Park Markets at West End on Saturdays between 6 a.m. and 12 p.m.
That was beautiful.
No, so I'm going to say... Warren, if you don't have Bruno Fernandes...
Well, let me tell you, he's got Fernandes.
Fuck you, Warren.
His midfield at the moment is Fernandes, De Bruyne, Salah, Suchek, and Bernardo, who looks like he's on...
He's Brighton. He's a filler.
He's gone, isn't he? I don't think he's even at Brighton.
So, I mean, I don't know what the rest of Warren's team looks like, and I don't need you to tell me. But you've got two trains of thought here, Warren.
Choo-choo.
One.
Mm-hmm.
By Aubameyang. And fuck fall down off. That rabbit hole with fuck me.
Off. What's the other
just
one?
Just follow me. Save some money. Because truthfully, outside of Son, there probably aren't that many other premium options in the midfield you'd want to go for. Son would be a good option. Otherwise, use that money to try and free up some cash. Use that option to try and free up some cash and move some money into your strikers or your defense. And that's by bringing in someone like Gundogan or by bringing in someone like Smith Rowe or possibly Madison or Barnes from Leicester City. If you want to go like for like in terms of potential output in the midfield, you'll probably want to bring in Son.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd say Madison Barnes.
Yeah, pretty solid. Yeah, I'm a fan of the money saving idea. Could absolutely do that. I don't know if I've got anything to add to that really, but yeah, De Bruyne. Or you know what? If he really had a lot of faith in Man City assets, which I'd touch on that he does because he got Diaz and Cancelo in his team, you could always switch him out for Sterling for a week or two.
No, don't do that.
All right, cool.
I don't trust him.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I say go for one of the more budgety picks that's done particularly well this season, as you've just touched on. Anything to add?
No. It was really good to see you. It's been a week.
Yeah, don't call me, I'll call you. Well, that does bring us to the end of the podcast. We will be back next week to talk about FPL again, because that's what we do on this podcast. You can catch us on the socials at BenchBoostBoys, BenchBoostBoys at gmail.com. And yeah, send us an email or a tweet if you've got a question for the mailbag, and we'll attempt to answer it, sometimes multiple times, sometimes successfully. Speaking on behalf of myself, of course. The private league.
P2IFBX. I've finally memorized it.
No, you just looked at your tattoo. But you're going to be fucked when it next season the code changes. P2IFBX.
And yeah, don't forget to check out Jimmy's Juice at the Davies Park Markets. Fuck at me. West End. Use the code BenchBoostBoys21 for maybe 20% off? I don't know.
Jeez, you're just 30%. Making it up.
I'm making it up.
You've said enough. Beautiful listeners, have a great game week, but not as good as mine. And we'll see you next time.
Au revoir.